Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Welcome back to the French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Groves, ex-Scotland international Johnny Beattie and former France hooker Benjamin Kayser. We're going to be focusing on the battle for the top 14 playoffs this week. So talking about this season's contenders and how it's all going to pan out and bringing in a guest who's right in the thick of it as well. But also getting Benji and Johnny's experiences of what it's like to be playing in these games with massive implications towards the end of the season. So we'll get into all that in a moment. But first, Benji, good week?
Yeah, good week, mate. Just back studying online. So I was meant to be in Southwest China. Obviously was canned twice already. The show. So now we're doing it with a professor who's online from the States with guys that are half asleep in front of their thing. Cause it's like, you know, I've got people from Sydney to Houston, Texas. So even for me, considering how much I'm obliterated behind that screen with vapor coming out of my eyes, blood coming out of my ears and feeling tired, but there's this poor woman in Sydney and it's 100 times worse. So
you're just telling us how tired you are. I don't feel sorry for you anymore.
I feel sorry for her though.
Yeah. How about you, Johnny?
Yeah, mate. It's all good. Was up in Paris at the weekend for Racing against Clermont. So that was really good to watch that. Good game. Disappointing for your old team, Benji.
Right, they got pumped.
They did, but do you know what, mate? They need a hooker.
Ah, finally.
They're missing Benjamin Kayser.
Finally, you finally make a tiny bit of sense, mate. I mean,
I'm not sure if you're going back as communications coordinator, if they're going to bring you out of retirement to play, but like, honestly, they can't, they've got decent players, right? But they don't have a platform. They can't give their backline anything. On the other side, like Kurtley Beal, Teddy Thomas, Vakatawa, Fiku had an absolute field day. So no, it was a good game. Sunday was classic swimming lessons, avoiding drowning lessons. I think they're being referred to in our house because, I mean, let's just say they're not increasing or getting better at any rate or speed. But they seem to enjoy splashing around. And then my missus yesterday, so she said, look, God, my folks are coming out. So the in-laws are coming out in about 6 weeks' time. Touch wood, all things being good, COVID passports. So she's handed me a list of things, because obviously we haven't done anything to the house since lockdown. We've just been looking after kids and getting through it. So I've got a list the length of all of our arms of stuff to do.
Mate, the list is easy. It's basically red wine, rosé, warm pies, a tiny bit of gin at the end so that in-laws feel at home. And that'll do, mate.
Do you not just get a man in to do the jobs, Johnny? Or do you do them yourselves? You're handy around the house?
I am useless. That's why these jobs should take 10 minutes, but they take about 10 years.
And you mentioned there that you were in Paris to cover a top-of-the-table clash. So we'll get into this season's playoff battle in a minute. But just want to get your experiences first of playing in those games at the top end of the table in the top
limited
14. You said it first. You got in there first, Johnny. No, you have some experience, and we'll come to that in a second. But Benji, have we picked a subject that Johnny says he's got limited experience about? And what about you? Because Clermont were pretty much top two or three most seasons, weren't they? Apart from that one bad season you had. So do you have any real experiences of the kind of battle around fifth, sixth, seventh?
Well, to be fair, I played a shit ton of semis, but I also had the moments where I've got that proper experience of post 2017 title with Clermont, where it's just a clusterfuck. The president promised the team as a reward a trip to, what is he said, Vegas. Obviously, we didn't go to Vegas. We went to Ibiza for 3 days. But on the first day of preseason of the following season, with some new boys and this and that, so we kicked off absolutely on the wrong foot. 17 up to 19 injuries during the season. season, chasing everything. You know what, everything goes wrong. We're winning in Po, and the final scrum of the game, our loose head prop loses the shit and just drops one at his opposite number. The ref is almost like, really? You really want to make your team lose the game? Penalty, kick in front of the post, and they go, you know, and they win. And it's funny because you got the perfect example with what Johnny commentated at the weekend. The reason why racing was so hot is because they are desperate, because they've lost two or three in a row, and this, the pressure is starting to pile. Basically, in France, we base so much of our strategy and of the outcome is based on heart, is based on hunger. And that was us in 17-18, when the hunger isn't just there. It was just a little bit off. And so when you play, I remember we played the opener against Bordeaux at home. We were better than Bordeaux and we just lose by, every time it was that new bonus, defensive bonus point, that 5-point difference, we kept on losing by 6 points. Man, it's not coincidence. It's not coincidence. It's purely the hunger, the grind. And it's funny how in top 14, you think, and that's why we're going to speak about it in a bit, I'm sure. You said top 9 can still qualify because they're within 2 games. Except I'll tell you right now, when you think that you're 2 games away from top 6, you're lying to yourself. You're actually 4 games away because you need to win 2, but your opponents need to lose 2. Because if they keep on chasing you, then you're never going to catch them. And that was us in 17-18. Every time we won a game, we're back, boys. We're going to smash it. We're going to qualify. And then the weekend after, you would lose by 1. And then we ended up finishing 8th or 9th or something. It was just, it's just too much.
Did it feel like the pressure was always, you're playing catch up and the pressure was always there and it was almost mounting as the season wore on? Desperation was kicking in.
From the first game. So from the first game, we get 0 points. Opener against Bordeaux. Second game, I think, I'm pretty sure we actually, it's 100%. We played the revival, the same setup as the final. We played Toulon at home for the opener and we beat them without the bonus points for us. You had 4 or 5 teams that won both. So they were already at 8 points, some of them 9 points, some of them 10 points. And so from the second game of top 14 of the season, we were chasing. And we were already 8th. So sometimes you get closer to 6. Oh, we're equal 6. You know, we can do it. Yeah, but that means you need to win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a row to actually do that. And the others to lose at least 2 or 3 of those 4 or 5 games, which never happened. And we never won 4 or 5 games in a row. So at least that was sorted. But and on top of that, we always played Europe full on. So there was never a matter of boys, you know, you have a rest and keep on going. And that season is the season where we beat Saracens away 40 points under the snow. And then we beat them at ours and we had Ospreys. So there's still, you know, proper Champions Cup games in there. And we ended up losing in the quarters against Racing. Like I played 6 for 30 minutes. So Johnny will laugh because that means how out of, Hissing. You know, depth we were gone. Oh, man, I was dead. Yannick Nyonga gave me a hug at the end of the games. I'm like, they can't do that to you. You're too old. That's almost harsh. Oh, man, it's just, you know, one of those seasons where you feel that nothing is going your way. And in rugby, at least in France, that margin for just a lack of energy, just a lack of spirit, just a lack of hunger and desire to eat absolutely everything that's in front of you, you pay it straight away.
Should have brought me in, mate. I was starving.
Johnny, you laugh because you ended your career with a few relegation battles. And maybe we'll do a topic on that one day as well. But you had a few playoff battles as well with Montpellier and Cass. So just give us, Benji's given us a sense there, but what's it like in terms of the fans, the mood around the town? Do owners get involved?
It's huge. But I think the point Benji made is it's an extremely tough league. If you lose 1 or 2 games at home, it's an uphill battle and it's hard and it's horrible. And you know it is because in this league, everybody wins most of their home games because it's the most important thing. And because it's such a slog and it's such a marathon, a lot of teams rotate away from home. And the most important thing is winning your home games. So straight off the bat, if you lose 2 or 3 home games early on the season, it's a shit sandwich and you know you're in for a long old haul. And it is a marathon until 4 or 5 games to the end, until things start and you see a bit of light then the tunnel and the table starts to sort of reveal itself a little bit. And you're like, right, well, actually, a chip and a chair, if we can get to 6th, and Cast are the absolute specialists of being sort of mediocre, but there or thereabouts and grinding out. And like you said, Benji, they're hungry. Like their town absolutely lives and breathes it. And definitely once you get to that time of year and there's a sniff of finishing 6th and you're not one of the big boys, it's game on. Like there's just a buzz around the town. Everyone's in. The buzz around the changing room, the buzz around the stadium is huge and it's palpable. The horrible thing is the flip side in the relegation battle, which is much worse and a horrible feeling. But the feeling of getting into top 6, I think I did it once with Cass, once with Montpellier, when maybe we weren't expected to because other big dogs have much bigger budgets and better talent, frankly. I never got through the barrage stage. I always lost that the quarter final in effect. But it's just such a cool thing to be part of. And when you compare it to other leagues as well, what is also really cool is the history. So when you're in Pro 12, Pro 14, there's sort of changes in structure and you're not really sure what's going on. Like in France, every town knows, every player knows, every senior player you talk to knows about Abrenas, knows what the top 14 is all about, and so you know what you're fighting for. And that's really cool.
I'm a big believer of having actually a sort of a football type of championship, of saying there's no more semis and quarters and go straight to it. And, you know, at the top of the league, we'll do it. And then I press pause and I remember like one game of semi-final, one final in Stade de France is absolutely fucking mental. Like it's the one bonkers. Of the best feelings. It's just something else. So you forget the mud of playing Brive and Bayonne when they had their old, their old pitches. You forget how tough it is to get to Oyonnax, because like Johnny said, when the sun is out, the beers are out, the boys are ready to play, you have a big breather. A lot of presidents are like, listen, top six means Europe means at least 500k or 100 just for the qualification. So at least, you know, the budget is sorted. You're almost done. And now it's like icing on the cake, right? And the, so the barrage, I'm not a huge fan. I just think it's harsh on teams who showed consistency, you know, to get there third, fourth, whatever the whole time. But the semis and the final are absolutely legendary. Now they do this thing, which I think is pretty cool, is to play both semis in the same town. They didn't used to do that when I first started, but now they pick a town and you'll have, you know, one back-to-back sort of semis. So it's a whole party town for a weekend of rugby fans from around the world. Normally they book their tickets early on in the season. They take packages, you know, for both. So it's really, listen, you want to go with your son, see two quality games, have a few beers with your mates, whatever it is. And that party atmosphere is contagious, is electric, and you can really feel it when you're on the pitch when the sun is out. So I only have absolutely stunning memories, and then don't get me started about the final because it's just something else. So however much I hate those battles that we're talking about, I'm guessing the outcome would not be the same without those battles. So that's why it has to stay like that.
Also the emotion though, like it's quite cold. Like if you're watching like English Premiership football now and you're just waiting for Man United to lose a game so Man City can win it, I love the emotion of knockout rugby, whether it's Champions Cup, whether it's top 14, Premiership. I love the qualifying for something and then getting all of your cards in order and playing your best hand with the best squad you've got. Like the emotion that brings out of players and for spectators and fans, it's the best bit about it for me, and I absolutely love it.
Well, let's bring someone in now then who's got first-hand experience right now of a playoff battle, because Bordeaux may have lost to Toulouse a couple of weeks ago in the Champions Cup. Big win for them this week against Bayonne, and we can have a chat now with their Australian international second row, Kane Douglas. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks guys. How are you?
We're good. We were just chatting about the battle to make it into the playoffs generally in the top 14, Johnny's experiences, Benji's experiences. Can you feel the pressure?
Oh, to be honest, like I know there's other boys that would be feeling the pressure, but like to me, I sort of don't really like thinking about it. I sort of like thinking of one game at a time. And I found since I've been in France, there's a lot of especially my first year, we were sitting in like fifth or sixth, and we ended up finishing about 10th, and it was like, oh, we need to stay in the top six. Let's stay in the top six. There probably is a little bit, but I think we're confident in our game, and we had a good win on the weekend, but we made like 18 penalties or something. We gotta look at some stuff like that, and you don't want to be given, like we could have got a few more yellow cards probably on the weekend than we did. We got two, and there's definitely things to work on, but yeah, we're confident in our game.
Did Christophe Puyos make a huge thing this summer about, listen, last year's last year, let's go back from scratch, or you're still trying to build and use that momentum from last year?
Probably a bit of both. Like I think we've got a very similar squad. Like we lost a couple of big guys. Like we lost Sammy Rudradra, so someone like that in your team's a fake. You can just
too bad.
You
can just make too bad.
Who can just make things out of nothing. So missing a guy like that sort of has been tough, but we've got some really good young centres there as well. So there's Yoram and Pablo, I think should be playing for France in a couple of years. Like I know Yoram already has, but they're like, I love watching them train and play. And I think he knows that we've still got that same key group of players. Probably a couple of games we've sort of gone, oh, we lost to that team last year. We need to beat them or get revenge. And Christoph's quite planned and with every week. And yeah, so it's probably been that bit of a mix.
Christoph was my coach at Cast as well. Yeah. And in terms of comparing and contrasting him to what I'd had before, especially in France, he's definitely the most Anglo-Saxon French coach that I ever came across. Like really organized, really methodical, really simple templates on the pitch. You've obviously had like a terrific career at Waratahs. You were in at Leinster as well with Cheka, and then like a different coaching group in Leinster. I want to ask you how you find them. How does he compare to your experiences, what you've had as coaches before?
Yeah, I actually think he's very similar, like not in every way, but a lot to Michael Cheka. Like, very planned. They both are. They like pick something that week we're going to focus on, and it's just the same. Like in every meeting, it's the same pitches and the same. We're sticking to that this week. I even think a few times where we might have had like a little bit of a bad training, but we've come off a few wins. Like I almost think it that he's gone, all right, I haven't blown up at the boys in 3 weeks. I'm just going to blow
it's
up.
Time.
Yeah. And like Cheka used to do the same thing. So, I definitely agree. I haven't really had French coaches because so when we got here, we had Rory Teague and then Joe Worsley sort of took over for the rest of that season when Rory left. So Christophe's been my only French coach and I talk to the other boys and they say he is really like I think he's in really early at the club. He's the last to leave. He's very, very serious and planned out and he's very, very professional, which I know the boys say that's from the Bordeaux of old, it's very different.
Mate, there's one thing. So speaking about last year and Christophe Furios doing stuff that you've never seen, there's one thing that I thought was absolutely extraordinary. And please tell me that's his idea because I want to know who the person is behind that thing. That after each big win or most big win, when hallelujah, there were your fantastic fans at Chabon Elmas who were there, he would take the boys still in jersey, still in boots, still in everything, go to the bodega, which is sort of the pub where the supporters go, and like surprise everyone and start sculling beers and singing with all the fans. Not only do I think that's rugby, but on top of that, imagine the communication that is. You guys win, you guys have fun, and you realize how do you say that? You break the walls and the borders with the fans, which is everybody's complaining about. Oh, professional rugby is becoming boring, distant, soulless, whatever. And you guys do that. I thought that was absolutely extraordinary. So who's behind that genius plan? Is that him?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's from anyone else. So I think that is from him. But yeah, like that's probably the best post rugby. Like we only did it probably two or three times last season. But yeah, like it was being in there, dancing around, like drinking beers. That was like
awesome.
That's probably like my best feeling. I know, like I won a comp at the Waratahs, but like we didn't do that. We didn't go in our boots. Yeah, like march down on the concrete all the way to the bodega to do that. Like it's a pretty cool feeling.
Is that a new one, Johnny, or did he do that with you?
No, he didn't. It's weird. So I think he's loosened up a little bit in terms of he was still quite not dictatorial, but he was still like position of authority. Don't mess. Like kept his distance. But then I heard another story in Bordeaux that the boys orchestrated. I'm not sure if it was preseason this year or last year, but basically at 3-4, I think like 3-4-5 in the morning, he had like a massive blowout, and then they got hold of his address. Went to Christophe's house, like chapped on his door, and he opened the door, like did a barbecue for everyone. Everyone's in his pool at like 5 a.m, which at Cast wouldn't have happened. And so it really surprised me that happened. Is that definitely true that happened in Bordeaux?
Yeah, it's definitely true. I can't remember if it was preseason or just a week we had like the weekend off. But yeah, they'd organized it with his wife and gave him the heads up. But yeah, he was fully surprised. So we were all out for dinner as a group. The staff was there as well. And then the staff all left. And then we jumped on a bus and went around to his house. Yes, that was pretty cool.
Awesome. I know that story because Nance Ducran told me that story. And he told me that they all rocked up and they were all in fancy dress, whatever. And he was watching Super Rugby, fell asleep in the sofa, analyzing another game. So that guy is just, workaholic times 1,000.
You mentioned he's loosened up and he's also a rugby nose, but he's known for his blow-ups, as you said. So you and Johnny compare stories about Christophe Furios' blow-ups. Your favourite one, Johnny?
I really enjoyed when you were playing against Toulon. It's maybe 2-3 years ago, and Fabien Galtier was giving shit to one of his coaching staff, and he gave him a cheeky slap in front of the TV cameras. I enjoyed that.
That was Cast.
Was that Cast? That's right. Yeah. It was a Cast. I enjoyed that. I just left.
Tu arrêtes, Fabien.
Fabien.
He just gave him a little one.
That's hilarious.
I enjoyed that. I also blew up at Richie Gray and I. We it was like a 1 o'clock kickoff, but he's so, diligent in his like cordoning off time. It was breakfast is from 6:30 to 7:30. And we were like, mate, the game's at 1. We're not getting up at 6:30 to come for breakfast. We ordered brunch. or some scrambled eggs. And that ended up being the theme for the team talk. He threw water bottles off us and absolutely hated it. But look, that's just, it's just an absolute, he was authoritarian with us, like absolute. I think because he came in and Cass was a shambles, maybe at Bordeaux there's like a mix of, you've got senior players that have been around, you've got Jeff Poirot, you've got Remy Lamoureux, you've got like senior French guys that have been around and are maybe easier to manage. When at Cast, he came in, it was a total mess.
No, like definitely you say with timings, but he's also, he's really strict on uniform. So if, yes, if someone's wearing the, we've got, I feel like we've got like five different coloured polo shirts.
Yeah, 100%.
You've got to wear the blue one on the bus, on the grey one at the hotel, the white one here, the red one after the game. And it's like, mate, who cares? Just let us wear a hoodie or like anything. Like, it's got UBB on it. Like, everyone knows who we are. Who cares? But the boys use all that as fines. We throw the basketball on Monday and spin the wheel and see what you get as punishment. But yeah, he is. He's very strict on those timings. Yeah.
And how was Christoph around the Champions Cup semi-final? Because obviously we all worked on the game for Channel 4. I mean, it seemed like a hell of a tough build up that.
Yeah, like it was tough. We had two of the guys that could only do a captain's run after having COVID, and that whole 2.5 weeks was pretty. It was like, are we at home today? Are we allowed to come train? Are we in small groups? And but he was very good. Like he said at the week, like who cares what we've done? Who cares that we've had that week off or whatever? We sort of had a plan in place. He said we need to get to the match. And the match is 50-50. We could so we had this like, all right, now we're at 5% chance of winning at the start of the week, and we need to build like 5% for this, 10% is you as an individual, 10% is the team doing this, and we'll build up to the weekend. And it was good after the match too. Like he just said, like, You've tried your heart out. Like, a few things didn't go away. We weren't disciplined enough, but like we can be proud and we can. Like, I think a few boys probably had their heads down come Monday morning and stuff still, but like that's the best the club's ever done in terms of European rugby. And we could have won, we could have gone better, but like got to be proud with what we did. So I think he was pretty good around all that.
Mate, I was really impressed, especially given the build-up you actually had. The boys that were sick, some of the boys still in their bed, only able to do a team run. I think most other teams, honestly, going to Toulouse would have folded like a deck chair. And that's what, like, us watching the game and everyone at home, seriously impressed by how Bordeaux's just turned a corner. It looks like a professional outfit, well organized on the pitch. And Christoph is massive into, it doesn't really matter how organized you are. It's all about the scrap. Like, how can I get these players to fight for each other and fight for a team? And that's 100%. What you see and what you get every week now. And like with no prep, you were phenomenal for 60 minutes. Like you could see fatigue start to kick in. You haven't had the prep that you needed. But in terms of the attitude, the effort and the honest guts, like it was superb. I thought it was absolutely awesome.
Right. And you haven't done top six and semis and stuff last year because COVID hit. But you must know by now that heart and that togetherness that you just said, that's what wins you top 14, mate. But that day, I saw some commitment on the Bordeaux side where you guys were throwing yourselves under the bus every time to try to stop them. There was really that physical side to it. I didn't think that you missed a bit of energy in the tank. It's just you missed a bit of, I don't know, a bit of speed, a bit of pace, a bit of strategy, of time together to build that, you know, to actually compete with a top Toulouse side. Yeah. But the grind and the anger was there, and that anger will win you top 14 if you guys get there, because I reckon you're the only one who's going to shamble that top six, because you got two games in hand and you're playing, what is it, Cast next week, so that's obviously you can get pull one out of top six, and then you're playing another one, I think it's Toulon or I can't remember who,
and we've got Montpellier on the Tuesday, which is a couple of days after they play their Challenge Cup final. So
kind of falls nicely because you've got Cast at home, which I reckon you can beat. You can then pretty much effectively turn your entire team to go to Agen and probably still win comfortably because they're shambles. So like this, it's a good run-in. But the important thing is, I spoke to Christoph, maybe it must have been just after Christmas last year when the French media had kind of crowned you the champions of autumn because you'd gotten to, and he was pissed off. He was raging. He was pissing and moaning about it. But mate, I think absolutely now with the combination of the players you've got, Christoph being the head man, you've got all the ingredients to be there if you grind it out. You're out in the top six, 100%.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was actually talking today, like the season and last season sort of nearly feels like one big long season. And during that time off, during confinement or whatever last year, Christoph was the one who was holding out hope. He's like, oh, no, we'll be playing in 3 weeks. We'll be back. We'll be back. And he just kept saying
it. He was desperate.
Of course he would be.
Games, poor thing. But you have to imagine, and there's the president, probably Laurent Marty, who's right behind him. You know, let's make history together. Yeah. That whole club is desperate for it.
Yeah. And we didn't want some cheap, like we didn't want the trophy just given to us because we were coming first. You want to win finals games. You want to win the final to become... Yeah. The best. So
how is everyone now? So you've had that COVID scare. Has everyone fully recovered?
I think everyone's come good. Like they've actually got a bit of an organization with one of the hospitals that they're starting to roll out the vaccine for the boys. So I think there's probably like 15 maybe or 18 boys that haven't had COVID. So there was 10 earlier in the season. And then we had, like 10 or 11 in that 2 weeks leading up to the Toulouse game. So, at the moment, everyone's negative. And, I think everyone's good, and hopefully we can steer clear of it.
And COVID aside, Kane, you're in your third season now in France. So are you liking it? I mean, it's a different lifestyle over there. I mean, I know you had a year in Ireland as well and then went back. France, it suits you?
Yeah, like it was definitely there was some hard parts at the start when I first moved over with two kids and we're living in an apartment in the middle of town and it was stinking hot in July. And it probably took a year and we found a nice little house. And then, it feels like home now. Like the kids are up at the little French school up the road. They can speak better French than I can. I can finally now have a sit down and one-on-one with Christoph. Like I used to get a translator, I'd get Heine Adams or someone else to go in with me. But
he doesn't speak anyhow. He probably growls at you the whole time. It's like have a scream and a growl. You don't even need to speak French.
Yeah, I think he can like say one or two things in English or that's all I've ever heard. But when he came in, it's like every meeting is just in French. Like there's no one's translating anything. You have to just sit next to someone who speaks French and you need to go to French lessons and learn it, which is like, it's been good. We've had to do it now. So it's like, I want to learn French.
Mate, at Oyonnax, when he started there and in Cast, he made all the foreign boys go through their diplomas. So he was the first coach that said, look, if you want to integrate properly, you have to speak. But he forced everyone to do I think it's your DELF, like a level A1 or A2. You had to do it. If you want to be part of the squad, you had to learn French, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it is. I kicked myself that I didn't go harder that first year that I was here, but I'm... it's sort of been fun now. I've got there's three Argentinian boys and me that are there every week. A few boys, Scotty Higginbotham's got his last season, so he's sort of like, oh, I probably don't need to learn French anymore. And there's a few other boys who just sort of go, oh, I've got something on, or couldn't be bothered today. But there's a good group of four of us who go every week now, and it's we've got a good teacher. The first year I didn't really like our tutor. But yeah, it's sort of fun now, and I'm enjoying being able to speak French.
Is the intention to try and stay, extend the old contract, and try and get a few more years at Bordeaux?
Yeah, I've got one more. I'm just going to keep Christoph happy and try get another couple. But I think like if I stayed in France, I'd have to stay in Bordeaux, or I'd have to move to down to the beach somewhere. We spent 3 days in Biarritz before the Bayonne game on the weekend, and it was unbelievable. Like just cruising down the beach, so chilled. And I don't know. I can definitely see myself here for a few more years, but down the track, I definitely want to move back to Oz. But yeah, I could see myself here for post rugby for a couple of years if all was good. Yeah.
And Benji, in the next contract meeting, if Kane wants to keep Christoph happy, any French that he can try out? Just don't look it up, Kane. Any French that he can drop in there?
No, I don't know, mate. You just basically, I reckon Christophe is a simple man. If Kane does his job as a lock to smash people where he's got in front of him, hit his rocks, rip up the ass of Jefferson Poirot, whoever, Kobias, well, he probably doesn't need help, or Tamifuna, whatever that you got in front of you, then he'll be happy. He's a grafter that likes warriors, and as long as you keep up what you're doing, then he'll be happy, I guess.
That and... Yeah. Slipping a case of red wine under the desk is normally Benji's advice, isn't it? Yeah.
He's making his own now, though.
Yeah, he is. Chateau Pispook, is that?
Chateau Piss what, Johnny?
Chateau Pispook. Chateau Pispook. Chateau Pispook, I think it's called. Pispook, yeah. I got my words out. Pispook.
Is it any good, Kane?
I actually haven't tried it, but he's but he gives a bottle for the coach's player of the match. So each week, I think since he started doing his own wine, which has been half of this season, he's whoever gets player of the round gets a bottle of his wine and a Bordeaux apron.
So the coaches haven't given you player of the match?
Well, I got one earlier in the year and it wasn't his wine. It was a different one.
And are you loving the wine out there? What are your favourite things about France?
You must have been down to Saint-Emilion. Have you been to Saint-Emilion, done some wine tasting?
Yeah, I've been out there a couple of times. But I actually, before I moved to France, I didn't really like wine. I'd have a taste and I'd be like, oh, what's this? And then since I've been here, I actually enjoy it. I love the bread and the butter and the French pastries. They're unbelievable. But
dangerous.
You just got to watch them. Had a meeting with the nutritionist a few weeks ago and he's like, oh, maybe just lay off them a bit. But it's cool to do something different, to be able to, my kids to be able to say one day that they lived in France. And I always told myself I wanted to go and experience life in France and some other countries probably too. Like I still have hopes of maybe even going to the States one day. I'd love to go and just experience life over there. That'd be totally different. But I don't know. It's like, it was hard at the start, but like I'm really enjoying being in France. And then once COVID goes away and we can just go to restaurants and stuff, it'll be a hell of a lot better too.
And a word before you go on a couple of your teammates. You mentioned the young centres coming through, and obviously there's a lot of youngsters at Bordeaux doing really well. Two of the big ones are already in the France setup, Mathieu Jalibert and Cameron Wauke. We talk about Cameron Wauke because Johnny loves the line out quite a lot. Yeah. How good is he? You know your stuff when it comes to line outs. I mean, he's got some levers, hasn't he?
Yeah, like he'd definitely have to be the best jumper I've ever seen. Like maybe there's guys who can read a line out better or whatever, but like he is so springy and you can just throw him I've seen like a training with the hooker's thrown a ball to the back of the line out and Wauke was at the front and hit it on its way there. Like he's just, you can just throw him. Like he's so light and springy. It's like, it's unbelievable. And like long arms some of those boys go so hard at training him. And I think there's a bit of a rivalry, Wauke and Alex from Matt some days, and they go hard, man. Even on Mondays, like I'm like, boys,
they're young.
Like, just chill.
They're young. They'll grow out of it. But I was going to ask you as well, like Alex Rumat as well. So Olivier, I'm not sure if you remember his dad, Olivier, who played for the French team in the 90s, but he's more of a line-out caller. Like how would you rate him, his line-out ability, calling, and the way he goes about it? He's quite lightweight, but long-term, you see him potentially French team, him and Wauke in tandem or too similar?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that, but I really rate Alex. Like he definitely goes hard at training and I think Christophe was a bit angry. There's a few penalties against him on the weekend, but he's really good. Like he's a good caller. He's confident. He's got good skills too. Like he hangs out wide and he knows how to sort of get away from a tackle and stuff. But him and Wauke, I think even like the last time Alex was up for contract discussions, he was probably thinking like, do I want to stay and compete against Wauke and because they both sort of play that same role, but it's sort of they've been working well. Sort of they can both be playing at the same time, and the way we've been playing our game, we haven't got that like rule like seven on the ball sort of in our team. So it's been like they can both play six and seven at the same time, and it's only going to make our line out stronger from having to compete against them at training. And in terms of young guys, like I rate both of those guys.
And Mathieu Jalibert, he's the name on everyone's lips at the moment. You've played with some guys with some crazy talent, Quade Cooper, Curtly Beale, those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Where does Mathieu Jalibert rank in the list?
Well, in terms of like line, like that speed and like change of speed and things like that, he's definitely totally different to Quade Cooper. Like Quade's probably got maybe more skills, but in terms of like that raw talent, like, and he can just step someone and just go, like he goes hard at the defense, like and he backs his chip and chase every time and it works. Like he just he can just dink it over and just sprint through, and you're like, far out, like he's a freak. And like and he can do it at, when he plays with Francis, he can do the same thing. Like I think someone was telling me about him before I moved over, and I was like, oh, like I hadn't really watched too many of the, because he played like one or two tests before I moved over, and there's this young 10, and I was like, oh, okay. And then yeah, like he's a freak. So it's sort of a different, like the different way he plays the game. But yeah, like definitely in the top two guys, like two or three guys that I've played with. Yeah.
And Benji mentioned another guy earlier who tends to lead the social side of things. So Nans Duquan, can you give us a couple of anecdotes on him? Because he's become super famous in France, but I'm not sure people understand outside of France, because obviously all of his language is French spoken, but a real comedian, somebody that brings the group together and brings out the best in people, like hilarious bloke. Can you give us a couple of lines on Nans?
There's probably a lot of things I can't say about him, but yeah, like he is so funny, everything he does. And actually we've had, since we lost to La Rochelle at home, and we Christoph laid out a few rules for April. Like there was no music, there was no getting your washing done at training, there was no all this stuff. And one of them was no Buffenard, and it was like he said it, and he looked at Nans, and it was part of Buffenard. And like, and Nans must have been so upset. Like, he's just like the whole day, he's just cracking jokes and being silly. And yeah, it's he's the funniest guy I've met. I probably the thing that stands out the most is the prank some of the boys do. They like, they go so much harder than back home with like some of the stitch ups they do. They like him and Cyril Cazot go at it, each other a bit. And there was at one stage, I think Nans put, because they call Cyril the T-Rex or something about a dinosaur or something. And they put T-Rex stickers all over his car. And then while we were in Perpignan, this was 2 years ago, whatever, we're in Perpignan, and they went round to his house, they opened his spa bath up, and he hadn't been using it at the time, and they put like four fish in it, or like four huge fish or something, and they'd like they obviously died, and it was like, I think it was like 3 months before he opened his spa bath up, and it was like There was like dog poo on someone's car door handle. There was like, they just go so hard at each other. But like those videos that he came out with when he re-signed, and the photos with Laurent and things like that. Like I've never seen anything like it in my life. And he's a cracker.
Nah, he's legendary. You mentioned the picture. Look, the picture is, for people who haven't seen it, is Laurent Marty and him. When you re-sign, it's like, you know, you're committing to another wedding, right? Because it's like La Belle Mariée and all that. And he's dressed up as a bride.
Yeah.
And the president is showed up with a little smoking. So he clearly does not care. But I know that him and JB Dubié, they're like the two pair of little jokers, and they are nonstop. But listen, if Christophe allows him to do it, with a smile on his face, because I do a show in France and he cracked a million different jokes and stuff, and he really took the piss out of Christophe, and he imitated him for about 10 minutes. And honestly, I couldn't speak. I was pissing myself. And after that, he started playing. He wasn't playing for Bordeaux anymore. I was like, oh shit, please tell me he didn't like chuck him in the freezer for that, you know, not for that. And I texted him. He's like, no, mate, don't worry. And he actually sent me a text that Christophe sent him after watching the show. And he said that he absolutely loved it. He's like, listen, just be yourself. As long as it's good for the team, it's good for me. Go at it. As long as it's heartfelt, he doesn't mind. So that's the type of jokes that he cracks and stuff. And to be honest, Christophe was taking you still with your boots on, going smashing beers with the fans, him cracking some jokes inside the team and stuff. That's the spirit that you guys have got. And then Semi Radrada, you'll never replace him, mate. That's it. He's just another alien. He's not there. But he's not in top 14. So if you keep that spirit, you keep the rest of the talent that you've got, you got the Moe Fana, like you said, Yoram and all that. Got a lot of talent. The old dog, the old horse, Remy Lamra, I'm telling you, he still has a few miles in that van.
He's
and
he can do
so well. He's one of them. He works on heart, pure, raw emotion. That's all he cares about. And I feel that a lot of guys in the Bordeaux team are wired like that. And that's why probably Christophe can get you guys to the next level. So as long as you keep that up, mate, I think some good stuff ahead.
The games are coming thick and fast, Kane. So I don't know if you fancy two games in 4 days at some point in the next few weeks, but good luck with the playoff race.
Yeah, thank you. I think it might actually be a good chance for us to, I think we might be struggling with our, with our GIF numbers. So might be one of those games where all the Frenchies just play against Argent. But it's a long season. It's, I don't know how many games we played this year. It's just feels like it never ends, but it's there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Sounds like the guys think you're going to make it. So good luck with the next few weeks. And we look forward to seeing you in the playoffs.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Hello, I'm Geraint Thomas.
And I'm Tom Fordyce.
And this is your official invite to come and join our brand new cycling club.
Now, good news, it's a podcast too. So you can come and listen to us, try and build this club from scratch. And we'll have a few familiar faces joining us for the ride too. Right, G, time to tell everyone what we've called this club.
Well, we thought long and hard about this. So we came up with a strong, original name that really stands out. The Geraint Thomas Cycling Club.
Yeah, I suppose it's easy to remember at least, isn't it? We will have new episodes for you every single Tuesday.
Come and join us.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Great to hear Kane's stories on Christophe Furias, and he's obviously enjoying life in France. But Bouffonnard, are you talking about Nantes de Coin, Benji?
No, mate, I think it's a bouffonnerie, and the bouffonnerie is because un bouffon is the joker. Le bouffon du roi is that, you know, in the Middle Age, the guy who would just dance around, do pranks, and make everybody laugh. And so it's a bit like in English. If you call somebody un bouffon, it can be a bit aggressive. But if you say if une bouffonnerie, fais pas de bouffonnerie, it just means no stupidness, no silliness, no silly jokes.
And there's three full rounds left. But as we were talking to Kane about, they've got a couple of games in hand. Bordeaux, how's it going to pan out? Come on, give us some predictions. Who's going to make it? Who isn't?
I feel basically that Bordeaux are seventh, and then basically the only chasers that you've got are Stade Français out of absolutely nowhere and Lyon. And Bordeaux have got two games that are missing, that have been delayed in hand. So they're clearly in the best position out of all of them to chase up. And I think they're only 2 points behind Castres. So this weekend is obviously a massive decider. And then if they don't cock up during the week, they will be ahead. I think Lyon is just too much of a stretch. Stade Français, listen, out of absolutely nowhere, because they beat Brive and they went to beat Racing, they could be. But it's that scenario that I was telling you before. They need Bordeaux to cock up. They need the teams ahead to cock up. And they need to fully perform for the last three games that they have, because they don't have any games in hand. So I only see actually Bordeaux shaking everything and kicking Castres out. So I reckon Toulon, Bordeaux, Racing, La Rochelle, Clermont, will, and Toulouse obviously will make it.
See, the problem is it's the difficulty of some of the fixtures. So I know it's still neutral venues, but Toulon, who are currently fifth, have four games left, but those games are away to Montpellier, away to Clermont, at home to Bordeaux, and away to Cast. Like, that's not easy. That's three big away games. You've got, you're right, you have Toulon on 62, Cast are 59 points, and then you've got Bordeaux in seventh on 58 and Stade Francais on 57. I've got Cast at home, which they should win easily. They then go away to Agen, which everyone else has picked up 5 points. They then play Montpellier at home, which he mentioned is after their final, so they might be absolutely scuppered. They go away to Toulon, where they might pick up nothing, and then they're home to Toulouse. So I'm looking at that, and I'm like, they could pick up 4 wins from 5 games fairly comfortably, and they could go from currently having 58 points with those wins to getting up to 75 points. But so I'm like, they could almost jump to third, which is crazy. But after that conversation, you see how much fun they're having and all the crap they've gone through with COVID. Like, you wouldn't put it past them. And Christophe will organize that team properly with the fixtures and rotate properly. Like I said, they're behind on their GIF numbers. So they're going to have to play everyone at French away to Agen, but they'll have enough quality to beat Agen away. The other one I think could sneak in is Stade Francais, who are currently eighth, but they've got their 3 games. They're home to Montpellier, which they're hot right now. They should win. They're home to Lyon, and then they go away to Bayonne on the last day. And they've got a lot of quality. And I just think Bayonne will be fighting for their lives. But if Stade Francais are fighting for top six, it's not a dead fixture. So like, they could also sneak potentially into sixth.
Yeah, but again, that's the scenario that I was telling you. For them to sneak, you need Toulon and Castres and Bordeaux not to perform.
Yep.
So they need to kill everyone and to chase again, because it's not like there's 1 point difference. There must be about 4 or 5 points difference. Stade Francais are on 57. Yeah, see, so they're already 2 points behind, and Bordeaux, like you said, will have loads. So I just don't see. I think that's Toulon or Stade Francais are in the scenario that we were in with Clermont. Always thinking, oh, we're going to make there, but it's just that bit too much.
But they've only got 3 games left. They're all nicely spaced out. That's their objective, go and win every game. They've got 2 home games and away at Bayonne. I don't know. I see first and second not changing. So Toulouse and La Rochelle, that isn't going to change. I could almost see Bordeaux going on a run and finishing third, Racing fourth, Clermont fifth, and Stade Francais sneaking sixth, and Toulon and Cast missing out.
And one of the factors we've been talking about with Kane and just then is the games in such close proximity to one another. So
mental.
Bordeaux are going to have that. This week, some teams are playing Tuesday, Saturday. Not something you two would have ever had to do in your career. It's absolutely brutal, isn't it?
I've had to do it.
Have you?
I've had to do it, yeah, once or twice. Well, first you had to do it during the World Cup, because that was just the last World Cup 2015, or the last World Cup, the last World Cup 2015 was just absolutely bonkers in that sense, particularly unfair to smaller countries. Remember the tier two countries? Yep. They had to do it every 4 or 5 days. And we had to do it once. And I was like, oh my word, that was the hardest thing I did. And then I didn't play 80 minutes, but I remember doing it with Leicester Tigers when I was young, playing on a Wednesday, playing again on Saturday, both times starting. And I thought I could, but that extra bit of stamina that you need to play a physical confrontational sport like you do, your body feels okay, but the extra bit of power, hunger, stamina, I just couldn't have it. And then that's when you start hurting yourself, and it takes you weeks to get back up. Jules Plisson was pulling their alarm, saying everybody speaks about player welfare and this and that, but they still want those games to be played. They haven't canned those games, they just postponed them, and now we're back in the situation that nobody wanted. You have to play during the week. Where is player welfare now? Player welfare is worth an amount of money. That's what it is. And then that's all that matters to them. So it's quite sad, even though of course, as rugby lovers, we want to see those games. We want to see them played. There's always been enough in this world of without rugby, and it's frustrating. But at the same time, they're really gonna have to, for teams that can rotate, fantastic. But what about teams that can't? Because exactly. If you have injuries, because this and that, you're going to take the risk out of putting boys in 3 80-minute games. There'll probably be 1 to 2 guys out of the whole top 14, but you're still taking a risk on these guys.
Did you see Robins Chaliawachu and what he said yesterday or this morning? So he's the head of Proval, which is like the French equivalent of the Players Association. He was just saying, we absolutely denounce it. It's ridiculous. It shouldn't happen. The injury risk now, like if you in 4 consecutive weekends, if you start or you play, the risk of you playing that in a fifth game, your risk of injury shoots, it skyrockets. So can you imagine having those 4 or 5 games in a 2-week period? It's ludicrous. So he said, look, absolutely against it. They've recommended as a solution, I think they were talking to Felix Saint-André, Montpellier. They were saying, look, can we draft in, like, even if it's foreign guys that can play in prop positions? Because you can't have props and hookers. Like you said, Benji, it's impossible to play Wednesday, Saturday. Physically, you'll break people. So they're saying, look, is it possible to bring in people from the academies? Or if they're foreign but in the academies, can they come in and qualify Gif under special rules? Because otherwise, we're going to break people. And they know they're going to break people.
What are they going to do? They're trying to find a solution now where they always knew. Remember, we've been speaking about this for the last six months. They keep on postponing those. When the hell are they going to play them? Ah, we'll see. They might need some time. You're already jeopardizing everybody's health. And now they realize, no, it's just that player welfare, the health of players has got a number on it.
Number is
20% of the TV rights or whatever you want to count it. That's all it is.
And did you see what the solution was? What Proval suggested is they said, look, instead of the players having 4 weeks holiday, this has been really hard. So this week they should have five this year. They should have 5 weeks holiday. And that's the solution is, well, let's put them through it, grind them into a pulp, see what happens. But, you know, if they have an extra week holiday, they should be okay. Like, come on.
And before we go, there's been a bit of transfer news, hasn't there? So Lau Marpe is joining Stade Francais, isn't he? So that's where Gael Ficou's money's going. We did sort of touch on that a few weeks ago. What do you make of that one?
I'm not his agent, but I'll tell you right now, he's not getting Gael Ficou's money. And that's the craziness about the attraction power of top 14. Don't get me wrong, look, I think Mbappe is an incredible player.
Incredible.
He's probably, without George Moala at the moment, the most powerful center in the world. He is the human piano, brick, whatever. He will destroy anything. He's an absolute rocket. And he's renowned in the southern hemisphere for being the hardest thing to hit in the world. Like Tui Sova, you know, would still give me nightmares. Well, that guy is a Tui Sova from New Zealand. So he's really got something. But the reality is that we're talking about games and pressure and money and this and that. Top 14 pays 50% more than what the boys get in South Hemisphere. That's just the reality of what it is. So they don't need, don't get me wrong, he's going to get a fantastic contract. But I'll tell you right now, he's not getting Gael Ficou's contract.
And you roll into that. Ultimately, he's going to be taking the place of two players. So not only is it Gael Ficou, who was €1 million a year, you got Joe Dante, who's leaving, going to La Rochelle. So he's coming and filling that void for two blokes.
He wasn't €1 million a year. That's what his president said. That was harsh, Johnny. You know that.
Was he just lying? I don't know.
No. You know he's a massive contract, but €1 million a year. Nobody gets €1 million a year.
But in terms of a player and a signature and who they're getting, mate, he's outstanding. He's got absolutely everything. And he's got better. Like, having watched a bit of Super the past 2-3 seasons, added layers to his game in terms of like kicking, passing, all, like, he can do everything. And I actually think like, New Zealand public will be desperately sorry to see him go because he's that good, but he will absolutely light up the top 14. He is phenomenal.
Looking forward to seeing him in the top 14. And Jonathan Joseph, Quimry, both linked with Toulon at the moment.
See, I'm not sure. Again, I think that it's more Toulon are going through a rebuild, right? So they've had their Galacticos. They've been the Real Madrid of rugby. That's no longer the case. So how can they get a bit of quality and a bit of sprinkling of stardust to make it better? But like with all these rumors, you just don't know. You don't know how much of it is agents trying to pump up renegotiation time. Until something's actually signed, especially in France, you've no idea. The one that I thought was really interesting this week, Benji, after talking about Clermont and your potential role and your mate, Thomas Domingo.
Yeah, bullshit.
Bullshit again?
Yeah. I spoke to him actually during the week. He wished. Mate, he's not born in Clermont. He's from Aigleton, between Clermont and Brive, so an hour away.
He was touted as going back to Clermont, being the sort of scrummaging forwards coach, which would have been...
Scrummaging, they just said as a forwards coach. But now, he told me basically, fake news, unfortunately. Yeah, he's resigning Pau, he's doing a great job, but mate, he's got businesses in Clermont, his life is in Clermont, his missus is from Clermont. The day that he can come back with a good opportunity, they will. And he's an absolute legend of a bloke. So he will add that culture and that spirit that they need. Unfortunately, it's not happening. I think to speak about Clermont, so John O'Gibbs is definitely going to go. I reckon he's only going to have to partner up with, hopefully, Dato Zirakashvili, the former Georgian prop, coming from La Rochelle, maybe a performance analyst, and basically keep Benson Stanley and Xavier Sadourny. But then Franck Azem has seen some, unfortunately, to be in a right mess of presidents just agreeing, past coming through from past deals that went through, and they feel that there's a bit of anger and resentment inside there. And Montpellier actually doing really well at the moment. So now the Montpellier Moya Daltrad is basically thinking, hang on, why would I break the bank in half if in the end my other three guys, my second team are actually doing really well? So why not? So Philippe Saint-André might be staying on now.
against his will, by the sounds of it, Benji.
Yeah, I spoke to him. So I was in Bath Montpellier for the game. He says, like, yeah, no, it's just not happening. And I was like, stop winning. He's going to keep you, mate.
Boys,
yeah, but the boys are doing really well. They're doing really well. No, it's just, you think he's been there, done that, mate. He's coach of the French team. He's won and lost. I think it's about that rhythm and that intensity, and that he absolutely adores it. But he's doing it over 10 months. It's just a big ask. So, but they could also, you know, shuffle around the cards, even within Montpellier, to give a bit more breathing space to Philippe and make it work.
A little birdie told me they were looking at Bruce Reihana potentially coming in as well, sort of consultant, because he's fluent French speaker. He's over in the Premiership just now, isn't he, coaching?
He was at Bristol with Pat Lam. I don't know if he still is. But...
And so they were like, maybe he's a cheaper, because as you said, like, they're going to have to break the bank to get Azema now for the indemnities they're going to have to pay Clermont. So they're looking, maybe could we get a cheaper Bruce Reihana being touted? I don't know. But like, if Philippe Saint-André doesn't want to do it, you have to get somebody that does want to do the job and is going to do a decent job next year, because like, the quality that they have, they need a good coach.
There we go. And when you're back at the top at Clermont, Benji, then you can give Thomas Domingo a call and yeah, we'll be all good.
I'll take him a special advisor so that we can come and chop some red wine.
Thanks, Benji. Thanks, Johnny. And a big thanks to all of you guys for listening as well. Make sure you hit subscribe, leave us a nice review if you can too, and we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, guys.
Cheers.
See you, boys. Bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.